Scripture reader, we've got several. They're all up here on the front row, ready to go. So you probably recognize this picture if you've got an email inbox. And every once in a while, we look at that inbox and it is full. Does anybody in here have an inbox like that? All right, now, some of you raised your hands and told on yourself, but some of you went like this and looked at the person next to you. This could easily be, I can get away with this because she's in the nursery. This could easily be Tammy's inbox, at least from a few months ago. She would perpetually have thousands and thousands of emails in there. And then she'd go, I got that email in here somewhere, and spend a half an hour looking for it. Sometimes we get busy, and sometimes we get information overload, and we just can't seem to get all those emails answered. And then there's all the junk mail that you get. Not just in the mailbox so much anymore, but certainly online. Sometimes our genuine mail goes unopened. We've been considering God's invitations. And a few weeks ago, we examined the key invitations in Isaiah. We also looked... ...we're going to get. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the last invitation from God. And what he's done for us needs to be remembered. And God has invited us if we will open the mail. By Doug Aubery, John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39.
What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see.
Amen. So Jesus is always looking to invite us to get a little closer to him. This is kind of like a beginning phase. You know, there's a time where you just need to get to know a little bit about him. And that invitation is something that Jesus made consistently throughout his ministry on this earth, and he's still making it to this very hour. Come and see! But Jesus moves quickly to a stronger invitation. Not just come and see, but come and follow me. And this invitation is thrilling because ultimately what he's inviting us to do is to participate with him. That's the same invitation we saw in Isaiah chapter 6. Come, let's do this thing together. Jesus invites us to see that discipleship requires commitment. Just checking him out, you know, you are like a fan. Anybody a fan of Jesus in here? Well, he wants more than fans. He wants followers. So he'll invite you to be a fan. Come and see. Come and check it out. But then at some point in time, he's going to look you square in the eye and he's going to say, now. Now you have to pick up your cross. Every day. And you have to follow after me. That can sound like a heavy responsibility. And in a sense it is. I mean, we are being invited to participate in the divine nature. We are being invited to share in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we share in those, Paul says, we must also share in his sufferings. And from Bryant's reading this morning for the table, he suffered for us. And now, we're being called to suffer for him. But if you keep in mind the alternative, that invitation is a blessing. Because we can choose to accept the invitation to suffer with Jesus, to suffer for Jesus, to follow him, to pick up our cross, or we can choose to suffer for eternity. But that's the two choices. Jesus understood this dilemma for us. And so, dying to self and carrying our own cross is what sets us free to also receive the rest. Let's move on to our second scripture reading. Michael McDonald is going to read for us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30.
Come to me, all who are labored and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen. We had bliss in the garden, but sin took the bliss that we had in the Garden of Eden and turned our lives into a desert of discord. And we have been restless ever since. We have been restless ever since. But God has had mercy upon us. And he had his son come to this world and give his life for us. The garden is replayed out in our own individual lives all too frequently, isn't it? We know God says X, but we want to do Y. And the sad part is that sin separates us from God. And we see this all around. It's real easy to see when somebody else does it, but the fact is, we still have to deal with it in our own personal lives. I can see this in my own life, and you can see this in your own life if you're honest. But only Jesus can put a stop to this restlessness. Only Jesus can put a stop to this discord. And the good news is, he's died to do that very thing. We have become a fish out of water. But Jesus, by God's mercy and grace, has invited us back in through living water to share in the rest that he can give us. And so, only in Jesus can we find that kind of rest. Only Jesus can take away my sin. And only Jesus can put my soul at ease because I've been forgiven. But here's the kicker. In order to receive that blessing, that invitation is only good if I remain in Christ. So I'm going to ask Blake to stand and read for us John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will bear more fruit. You are now clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I am in you. The branch cannot bear fruit unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
I don't think Jesus could be any more clear here. I am the only source of life. That's what he's saying. I'm the only source of any real fruitfulness in your life. Jesus is the only source of the word that prunes us. He says to his disciples, I've already spoken the word to you. You're already pruned. You're already clean. You're all ready to be even more fruitful. God wants us to be in a certain shape, if you'll allow me to use that terminology. But in order to get us into that shape, he has to prune us back a little bit. And so Jesus has simple advice here for us. Remain in me. Abide in me. I am the water that you need. And whether all souls know it or not, they are thirsty for this water. Now, people will deny it. People will reject it. We can't help that. But the truth is, they have that need. And Jesus makes it very clear, apart from me, you can't do anything. Not anything eternal. The only way we can achieve anything eternal and lasting in our lives is to stay in Jesus Christ. Now, frequently you'll think through your head, Satan is trying to stop that, and he is, but he's not our number one problem. Satan is not the number one problem that people don't follow Jesus. Now, he can come and snatch the seed before they even have a chance to let it grow. He's active. He's busy. I'm not denying that he has power, but no, he's not the number one problem you and I face. It's us. Because we want to run things. We want to be master and commander. We want to be the king of our own lives. And so we've got a choice to make. When the inbox is full, we've got to decide if we're going to let that go and follow Jesus and remain in him and abide in him, or we're going to run our own show. Satan can't pull me apart from Jesus, but I can walk away. And so even though Jesus invites us and desperately longs to gather us as a hen gathers her own chicks, we can reject that invitation. You say, well, I've already been baptized into Christ. So had these fellers. And yet Jesus still got to come to him and say, look, you got to stick around. You got to be in me. You got to be active and involved. You've got to participate. You've got to follow my direction. Running my own show is not what Jesus invites me to. Well, I'm a Christian now. I've got to clean myself up. Yeah, good luck with that. I want you to be clean, but let's be clear. Jesus tells us how that happens. That happens when we submit to the Word of God. And ultimately, Jesus is the Word of God. And if I run my own show, that means Jesus doesn't run it. And if Jesus doesn't run it, then I don't have his rest, because I have not abided in him. And this is why we must every day pick up our cross, follow after Jesus, and die to ourselves. We have to put our own will on the back burner. That's how we accept the invitation. We accept it initially in baptism, no doubt. But that's not the end point. It's certainly not the end game. The end game is to remain in our only source of fruitfulness, and that is Jesus Christ himself. But now I want to move on to what I started out with, that Jesus is the final invitation. And so Jamie Parrish is going to read for us Revelation 22:17.
The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.
This sounds exactly like Isaiah's invitation again, doesn't it? These invitations are just repeated over and over and over again, but they're making the same point. God is the only source of anything that really matters to you. If you will turn and listen, if you will stay and hear. The Spirit says, come. The Spirit has cast his vote. He's trying to get us to live in Christ. He wants us to live in Christ. Thank you, heaven. The bride, that is us, the church. We also have to be making the invitation. The Spirit says come, but the bride also says come. We've got a role to fill. We've got a part to play in this. Now, if you weren't here two Wednesday nights ago, Ben and I had an excellent discussion on that, and I really liked the way he framed it. This isn't, Jesus is not the only word out of my mouth. This isn't what this is like. I can talk about other things, and I can do other things, but at some point in time, I've got to step up and talk about the Lord. At the right point in time, when it's going to help somebody else, I have to make the invitation. Come. At least come and see. At least come and take the first step. And if you like what you see, then follow. And if you're going to follow, pick up your cross. And if you're willing to do those things, then Jesus provides rest and abundance. It may not look like what you want, but it'll be what you need. All who have heard the invitation must also turn to somebody else and say, come. And all people, whether they know it or not, need to come. And if we don't invite them. So it's always been the same invitation. And we cannot seal this invitation up. We must keep receiving it, and we must keep sharing it. And you can't share what you don't receive. But I want to take a few moments just to look at how the writer of Hebrews extends this final invitation to us. Because clearly this is the last invitation you're going to get from God, and that's in Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews picks up on this, and he makes the point for us. So first, I'm going to ask Bryant to read two sections, but first in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
Long ago, in many ways and at many times, God's prophet spoke his message to our ancestors. But now, at last, God sent his son to bring his message to us. God created the universe by his son, and everything will someday belong to his son.
In many and diverse ways, the older translations say. Let me give you a real simple working idea of what the writer is saying here. Before Jesus got here, God spoke to us in dribs and drabs. God spoke to us in bits and pieces. But now in these last days, he speaks to us through his son. We didn't get the full message before Jesus. We saw a little glimpse of it, and that's why Peter says even angels longed to look into this and understand it. But now that the word has come to us, now we can understand fully. And so, he's going to quickly make the argument in chapter 1 and going into chapter 2, you're without excuse. You got to choose now. At times past, God winked at such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. To give up their own life and to turn that life over to Jesus. And thanks to Jesus, now we can have the big picture. But the writer of Hebrews will also take up on this argument in chapter 3. And so I'm going to ask Bryant now to read Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 15.
My friends, watch out. Do not let the evil thoughts or doubts make any of you turn from the living God. You must encourage one another each day. You must keep on while there is still time that can be called day. If you don't, then sin may fool some of you and make you stubborn. We were sure about Christ when we first became his people. So let us hold tightly to our faith until the end. The scriptures say, if you hear his voice today, don't be stubborn like those who rebel.
He's going to develop the same thought more so in chapter 4. He's talking about the generation of the Israelites that wandered in the wilderness. They didn't listen. God came to them. God made an invitation. But ultimately, they didn't receive his rest. And the writer is saying, let's not repeat that mistake, shall we? Because we have more of an opportunity, which means we also have more responsibility. And that opportunity and that responsibility is only met and found and discovered in Christ. He's very clear here. We need to be encouraging one another about these things every day. And so, I'm unapologetic about the fact that I'm standing up here before you telling you things you already know. Hopefully, I'm speaking it clearly. Hopefully, you'll be persuaded to make this decision every day of your life that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And only in him do I find peace and security. Only in him do I find rest for my soul. Because only in him are my sins forgiven. And if I buy into that, and I pick up my cross, and I let myself die, then Jesus can take over my life. And that'll make all the difference for all of eternity. Not just in this world, but for the world to come. Because the writer is also clear here that Here's what happens to us. The deceitfulness of our own sins choke this out. We know the invitation is there. We know that Jesus saves. But sin, our own sin, makes the inbox full. We don't listen. We don't follow. We don't lay our own lives down and do what Jesus wants us to do. We come up with some reason and some excuse to do things our own way. Each day, you and I still have to hear the invitation. And each and every day, you and I still have to decide to accept it. And once we have put on Christ in baptism, then our responsibility is to die to myself and to follow him. Later on in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, he's going to build this argument far more strongly. I'm going to ask Greg to stand up and read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14.
Christ came as high priest of the good things that we are now here, good things that are now here. He also went into a much better tabernacle that wasn't made by the humans and it doesn't belong to this world. Christ went once for all into the most holy place and freed us from the sin forever. He did this by offering his own blood instead of the blood of goats and bulls. According to the laws of Moses, those who were unclean and not fit to worship God. Yet they will be considered clean if they are sprinkled with the blood of the goats and the bulls and with the ashes of the sacrificed calf. But Christ was sinless when he offered himself as an eternal and spiritual sacrifice of God. This is why the blood is much more powerful and makes our consciences clear. Now we can serve a living God and no longer do the things that lead to death.
So Paul makes a similar argument. Those who have died have been freed from sin. But if I'm still running my own life, I haven't died. And I'm not free from sin. Now, you can try some other system if you want. You can go back, as these particular readers were trying to do, and reinstill Judaism and sacrifice a lamb and sacrifice a goat and burn up the ashes of a heifer and sprinkle it on yourselves. And you can say, look, I've done all these things. I'm clean. No, you're not. Because only the blood of Jesus provides that cleansing. And ultimately, this is what he's saying. Christ was sinless and chose to die for me. And I can only accept that invitation if I choose to die and live for him. Now, I know some people rail against it. But there's a great, profound truth in this. Jesus plus nothing. You say, well, Phil, we have all these other things we have to do. And yes, if we're in Christ, we will do them. And we won't be arguing about it because we'll want to do it Jesus' way. But the point is still the same. It's Christ plus nothing. That's what forgives my sins. Now, if Christ asks me to repent and I'm in him, what am I going to do? I'm going to repent. If Christ asks me to be baptized and I want to be in him, what am I going to do? I'm going to be baptized. If Christ wants me to do X or Y or Z, what am I going to do? I'm going to do what he wants me to do because I've killed myself. I've laid myself down. I pick up my cross every day. Every day I receive that invitation because I know that Jesus is my only hope. Not how often I showed up here at the building. Not how many scriptures I read. Those are fine things to do, and Jesus wants us to do them. But they're not our hope. Only Jesus is our hope. Because he died a sinless life. to pay for my sin. And what he's inviting me to do is lay my life down and to live for him. And so ultimately, this is why I choose to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him. This isn't his last conclusion, but this is the last one we're going to look at today. I'm going to ask Greg one more time to stand up and read Hebrews 12 and verse 25. See to it that you don't refuse him who speaks. Jesus is the last word you're getting from God because he is ultimately the only word that matters. And in times past, God did things differently. But now, he speaks to us through his Son. We've been invited. Your inbox might be full, and you might have heard a lot of other invitations out there. But Scripture makes this clear. There's one invitation that matters. Don't get so busy that you forget to open it. Open it every day. Don't get so busy that you don't follow. And if you're going to follow, make sure that you're following him, not your own way or somebody else's. I've been invited. You've been invited, but it's the last invitation you're going to get from God. This is plan A. This is it. Follow Jesus wholeheartedly, be a living sacrifice, or take your chances. Good luck with that. Are we listening? See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Are you listening? Are you coming? Are you seeing? Are you following? Have you received rest for your souls? Now's the day of decision. Today it's today. Let me encourage you to put off the sin that so easily entangles and focus your eyes on Jesus. I have no other invitation to give you. It's not something you do once. It's something you do every day as long as it's called today. Don't refuse him. Don't get so bogged down and overwhelmed that you stop listening to him. He's a tender shepherd. And he wants to save your soul. The choice is yours. The invitation has been extended. What will you do with Jesus? If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing number 23.